live and local.
KVOE, live and local. 1400 AM, 96.9 FM presents In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael.
And welcome to In the Garden here, KVOE live and local, AM 1400, 96.9 FM. Nice to have you here on a Thursday. In the Garden, brought to you weekly by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 344-6165. Also by Waters Hardware for everything from home to garden. The team at Waters Hardware, well, they have you covered. Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50, and they are open 7 days a week. And by the Emporia Farmers Market. Join them downtown every Saturday, May through October, and Wednesdays, June through September. The Farmers Market. Of course, they'll be back Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Travis Carmichael, Lyon County Extension Horticulturalist. Good morning.
Morning. How are you, Ron?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Cooler weather? How's that feel out there?
Oh, it feels great. Whoa. Oh, this is nice.
Yeah, things were pretty intense there for a few days, especially on Monday.
Yes, it was. It was very intense there for a few days. Boy, I'm glad to see, though, I think a lot of things so far looks like they've handled it quite well. But, we'll see. Things dried out quite a bit. So,
no kidding. We were at, I think we tied a record at 104 on Saturday, on Monday, with the heat index readings topped at 111, I think, in the afternoon. So that's about as bad as it can get around here. So we're fortunate that things are now cooler, and looks like we may get some rain this weekend. So
yes, which is needed. So no, it'll be just fine.
No doubt about that. 342-5863, 342-KVOE, please give us a call on the Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line. And any questions for Travis, he's here to field those. And I do have a question right off of the top.
Fantastic.
That someone was wondering about. It looks like they said they have thousands and thousands of gnats when they mow their yard. What causes them? What can they do about them? Now, their next-door neighbor, they have none, apparently. So it's just in their yard. So gnats in yards?
That I would maybe have to look up. My guess is maybe staying a bit on the more damp side in their yard versus their neighbors. Would really have to look to see what kind of the conditions are. Spray-wise.
I think it's out in the Thorndale neck of the woods out there.
Okay. So. Spray-wise, I mean, there are most of our general insecticides work on gnats or fungus gnats.
Yeah.
And you could spray that over the lawn. Of course, if they're airborne, that's not going take care of them, because some of those are more contact insecticides. But that would be one thing to look at. I've noticed there's areas at times where there's been some good pockets of gnats or even mosquitoes too.
Yeah.
Swarming. And so just kind of checking out the area, making sure you don't have a lot of standing water in some spots too, will be beneficial for either one.
Okay, so dampness, so, water, that's generally the cause?
I think so.
Okay. It just seems odd that the neighbor has none. And
they like someone's yard, and so they, all the right conditions. So
okay.
That's what I would look into and go from there.
So your basic insecticides, though, will generally...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just double check the label, make sure gnats is listed. But a lot of them will take care of those for you.
All right. Well, let's get on with the show again. 342-5863, 342-KVOE, the number to jump on board here. If you would like to get a question to Travis, what is topic number one today?
Well, the first topic has been kind of a hot topic in the office. We've had several folks calling in with blossom end rot on tomatoes.
Okay.
So a lot of times we see this sometimes with the first flush of fruit off of our tomatoes, and then it kind of will correct itself. But this is where the bottom end, what we call the bottom end of the tomato, starts to rot, and it gets its name because that is where the blossom or the bloom is attached to, is that end of, okay, of the tomato. And so, yeah, it turns black, and then it just starts to fully rot, and the whole thing gets mushy at some point. Now, I have also seen it to where it will start internally and spread, too. So what it is, it's a imbalance within the plant itself, and it's a calcium deficiency. Now, for us, it's a lot of times not because of the soil. We have a lot of calcium, yeah, in our soil because our bedrock is limestone. So there is a lot of that going on in the soil. The main reason we tend to see it is, especially like this year where we had more of a spring, everything really took off well. So we got these great shoot growths, started to set a bunch of fruit, but the roots weren't able to grow as fast. And so there's most plants need to have a balanced system. So a balanced root system that can support everything up top. And so on tomatoes, when that root system isn't as robust, we will tend to see where the plant is needing the calcium and fruit, regardless if it's our tomatoes or our apples or whatever type of fruit we're growing. We call it a sink in the plant world. So they put all their resources into that fruit. So there is a lot of storage of stuff within that tomato for that plant. So when it needs calcium elsewhere because it's not being pulled in enough by the root system, it robs it out of the fruit, which then causes it to turn black and, okay, rot, and we get blossom end rot. So we have to let the plant correct itself generally. Now, if it continues to happen all season long, then we need to look at what's going on. It could be an imbalance in the soil. Generally, a lot of times it's our pH is either too high, and we need to bring it back down so that it will release those particles from the soil itself so the plant can uptake it. And then we also maybe need to look at then what the person may be doing as their cultural practices. If they're fertilizing too much, over-fertilizing tomatoes will cause blossom end rot. Checking the cultivation, if they're going too deep and they're harming those roots, that could cause it too. But generally for most folks, what causes blossom end rot is that first point I brought up, is there's an imbalance within the plant. The root system hasn't fully caught up. Once it all equals out, then we're good to go. Also, heat can induce it a bit too. Okay. So we've had several strikes on them this year, but over time, give it some time and get some more, allow more fruit to set, and you may notice it will eventually correct itself.
So no reason to panic, I guess. Generally, it's going to be the imbalance. Mm-hmm. Generally, that's what
generally
it is.
Generally, it is the imbalance. Okay. I've had a few where it's been persistent over a year or two, and we've had to adjust the soil or look at maybe it is because they're over-fertilizing or something, and we've had those issues too. But generally, it's that imbalance between the roots and the shoots. So,
well, it appears that tomato crops have been pretty good around here. I mean, people I've talked to says they've had a pretty good harvest so far this year.
Yes. So. Yes, it's been looking good. So,
fingers crossed. Keep it up. So yes. We're still kind of in the middle of tomato harvest, then, aren't we?
We are. We're probably going to see a bit of a lull here because of the heat. If anything was blooming the last week, sure, or so, most of those blooms are most likely dead, unfortunately. And then, depending on what our weather does, I know it looks like we might creep back up into the 90s towards the end of next week.
Next week, yeah.
You know, it sometimes takes a week or two for the plant to reset before it's ready to push out more blooms and go again. So we'll just have to kind of see what happens. But generally, once we get out of that 100 degrees and back down to mid-90s to low 90s, everything, yeah, will equal back out. So, you know, if you're someone that you're just haven't been extremely happy, try and do your best to keep them watered, because I'll guarantee you once we get through the heat and it equals back out, you may end up finding you had your best tomato crop more towards August and September than you did in June and July.
Okay. Yeah, the low 90s, basically our average daytime high for this time of the year is around 92 degrees. Mm-hmm. So actually, you know, the next few days will be below normal here until we get back to the 90s. So that will be a good thing. Well, fair time is, it's ramping up here around the area. I notice, you know, we had some 4-H ambassadors from Chase County with us on this morning previewing their fair, which really kicks off on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And going through some of their information, I noticed that you'll be down there
for
a day, aren't you? Yes, you are. So
I'm a judging, So, it's kicking off everywhere. I hit three fairs next week. I've been asked to judge.
So you've got three. Where else besides Chase County? Osage?
I'll be in Coffee County.
Okay.
And then Wilson County. So, making some rounds. So.
Well, you normally do that. You normally stay busy this time of the year, don't you?
I do. We have our fair coming up, and we'll be busy with that as well. So, yeah, this is the time of year where I'm hit or miss in the office.
So. If Travis isn't there, chances are you're judging someone.
Most likely, yes. And then, this time of year, the last couple weeks of July, absolutely.
All right, 342-5863, 342-KVOE is our In the Garden number. Stay tuned. We're back with more right after this.
It's summertime, and that means more opportunities to shop fresh and local at the Emporia Farmers Market. June through September, the Farmers Market is open Saturday mornings from 8 to 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Shop for freshly picked produce, local honey and eggs, baked goods, flowers. There's always something new at the Farmers Market. Find us downtown at 7th and Merchant for a fun family atmosphere and friendly Emporia area vendors. See you at the market.
Transform your lawn this summer with top quality tools from Waters Hardware. They carry the best lawn tools from Greenworks, Husqvarna, and Milwaukee. Whether you need a powerful mower, efficient trimmer, or versatile blower, Waters has you covered. Visit them today for the best deals and elevate your lawn care game. Great gifts, home and lawn improvement, and an extensive selection of rentals all under one roof at Waters Hardware. 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with the summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate at 620-344-6165.
KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM wants you to find the legend and win over $3,000 in prizes playing our hide-and-seek contest. Listen for clues and then find the medallion. Complete rules online at KVOE.com. In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
And welcome back to In the Garden, KVOE Live and Local, AM 1400, 96.9 FM. Ron Thomas hosting, in with Travis Carmichael, Lyon County Extension Horticulturalist, 342-5863, 342-KVOE. I think we have a phone call. Good morning, you're in the garden with Travis.
Yeah, I have a quick question, a little bit off of the subject. I overseeded my backyard this spring, and I roughed the ground up with a rotor tiller, but it had still some weeds and some grass in there. But I overseeded it and I watered it, and I've got the best stand of crabgrass you ever seen, and I'm not sure what happened.
Okay. Most likely the reason the crabgrass kind of took over is, did you cut it down short before you overseeded?
Yeah, it's pretty short, yeah. And I kind of roughed it up with a tiller. Okay.
Yeah, so it just opened up that soil to get more sunlight to allow the crabgrass to germinate. We're getting towards the tail end of its life cycle, so you're going to be seeing it die out here before too long, and then you'll see what's left of any of your fescue that you put down.
Would you recommend spraying the crabgrass or using some kind of granule that will kill off the weeds in the crabgrass and leave the fescue?
So anything, at the stage that the crabgrass is in, there's really nothing that I could tell you to use to control it without killing the grass that you desire to keep.
Okay.
So I'd let it fully die out. It's going to do that here over the next few weeks. And then you could go ahead and overseed again if you need to here in September to kind of help fill in. If you can get 3 mowings in yet this fall, if you do any overseeding, then come next spring you can put down pre-emergent and any other kind of weed and feed to help reduce the likelihood of the crabgrass from coming back. If you were to get a little bit to germinate on the crabgrass when it's still young, we can use a product called Drive, or any products that contain quinclorac is the active ingredient. That will take care of the crabgrass, but it has to be young. When it gets to the mature stage that it's currently in, the product does no good. So it's only when it's young that it will work.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Okay, so the crabgrass will be dying out on its own here, but then overseed in the fall, and then when it comes time next spring, pre-emergence,
and then using that post-emergent quinclorac to help control anything that made it through that pre-emergent is really then kind of the key to help controlling the crabgrass within our lawns. Because like I said, once it gets past, it's like the first few stages of the leaf stages of crabgrass. Once we get past that, then it's too hardy for that product to work. And then we'd be resorting to Roundup, which then that kills everything. And so, because there is no good selective grass killer that would keep our fescue and take care of the crabgrass, unfortunately. So, but... yeah.
All right, 342-5863, 342-KVOE, our Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line number to get on with Travis here. We'd like to hear from you if you have any questions. Topic number 2 this morning, Travis.
Well, let's talk a little bit of scorch.
Okay, let's do that.
Scorch is like sunburn on our leaves. So with the weather we've seen, and if we get back to upper 90s and pushing 100 again, we can see it fairly easy. So there's a couple different types of scorch. A lot of times most folks, though, will confuse it with fungus, and it's not a fungus. Okay. It may look like it, but it's not. But generally what we see is it's always around the edges of our leaves, and that's kind of what helps distinguish scorch from fungus. Is it will start on the edges, eventually kind of can move to the whole leaf, whereas fungus will start as circles or irregular spots in the middle of the leaf or random spots. It just doesn't do the edges. So you may see where the leaves start to turn brown or could actually turn black along the edges of the leaf, and then it kind of starts to move in irregular along the veins, and that's scorch or sunburn. And pretty much it's a physiological problem. It's nothing fungus or a disease that the plant has. It's just environmentally caused, and a lot of times it's caused by the weather. So
are there any plants that are more susceptible to this?
No. Okay. I've seen it on about a lot of them.
Okay.
You can see it on pines and spruce. So our evergreens are not They're susceptible to it. Probably the one evergreen you wouldn't see it on is a lot of times our junipers. They don't show strong signs of scorch. They might have random spots that look like they've been kind of tipped, where the tips will turn brown. That could still be, depending on the plant, could still also be a form of scorch. But it's more noticeable on pines because the needles are longer. And then, of course, then we can see it on about any of our deciduous plants, and that sometimes we can see it on spirea and boxwoods, and I've seen elm trees and roses and maples. They all can get it. It just, it's a lot of times when that sun has that real strong intensity, you know, you walk outside, yeah, and it's maybe not that hot, but you just feel how you bake when you walk outside. Think what those poor plants feel. So that coupled with a little bit of wind can cause that scorch to happen on the plants. Basically, we just have to let Mother Nature take effect.
Really nothing
at that
to
point.
Do. I mean,
yeah, there's nothing to do. If it's bad enough and the whole leaf turns brown, they may drop, or the tree may drop the leaves. And at this point in time of the year, that is okay. Because the tree has stored up enough reserves that it can either hold itself till next spring to re-leaf out, or because a lot of times we'll hit a second growth spurt about late August into September when things start to chill down a bit, then you might see some leaves come back. It may not be a full-fledged setting of leaves like we would get in the spring, but they can do that. But I've also seen some trees where they'll just drop and they'll wait till next spring, and that is okay. That's just their response to it. But it will eventually, it will correct itself.
Okay.
It's just going to look bad until that happens.
So there's no temperature, steady temperature, or amount of sunlight during the day that this generally happens. Obviously, it would seem like a summertime thing.
It is a summertime thing, and especially some years we'll see it worse when we're in drought, too, because you couple that with real dry conditions, that shrinking of the soil pulls the roots apart, so you have root damage, and now blaring sun, that can sometimes cause it to be a little bit worse, you know. So it may be more of mild cases we may notice this year, because until recently we've had some more timely rains, depending on where you're at within the county, that it may not be as bad. But there's been some years that I've seen scorch on about anything, because we're so dry and it's hot and the wind's blowing, and it just happens.
So this is climate driven, and there's really nothing preventative we can do.
Correct. Nothing preventative. The biggest thing is you always hear me harp, is make sure you just keep things watered to help reduce the likelihood of it happening. But again, it still can happen if you're keeping your plants watered, because it is solely on the weather.
Keep harping, Travis. Keep harping. 342-586-3342. KVOE is our In the Garden number. Stay tuned. We're back with more of In the Garden right after this.
It's summertime, and that means more opportunities to shop fresh and local at the Emporia Farmers Market. June through September, the Farmers Market is open Saturday mornings from 8 to 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Shop for freshly picked produce, local honey and eggs, baked goods, flowers. There's always something new at the Farmers Market. Find us downtown at 7th and Merchant for a fun family atmosphere and friendly Emporia area vendors. See you at the market.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with the summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate at 620-344-6165.
Transform your lawn this summer with top quality tools from Waters Hardware. They carry the best lawn tools from Greenworks, Husqvarna, and Milwaukee. Whether you need a powerful mower, efficient trimmer, or versatile blower, Waters has you covered. Visit them today for the best deals and elevate your lawn care game. Great gifts, home and lawn improvement, and an extensive selection of rentals all under one roof at Waters Hardware. 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
find a bargain, or cut a deal. Garage sale listings at garage sale prices. Find out all the details at kvoe.com/garage sale. In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
Welcome back to In the Garden, KVOE, AM 1400, 96.9 FM. Every Thursday morning at 11:05, Lyon County Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael is in to touch on a trio of topics and take your questions, 342-5863. 342-KVOE. Well, it is the melon time of the year, Travis.
It is. It is. So let's talk about how to properly harvest them, right?
Let's do that.
All right. So, as we all know, locally grown, whether you've purchased that at the farmer's market or you're growing them yourself, they're always better
yes,
than buying from the store because you've allowed them to harvest, not to harvest, to grow to maturity on that vine. So if you're growing cantaloupes, not ever done this before, there's a few things to look for when it's time to harvest. Of course, we're going to look at the color. We want it to be all that kind of cream color, no green on it whatsoever. The other biggest way is it will release from the vine on its own, sort of, when it's ready.
Okay.
That we shouldn't have to try to yank it off the vine. We should barely have to push where it attaches to the vine, and that will kind of just pop off. When it does that, it's good to go.
Good.
And so that's one way you can tell how things are picked when you're also at the store or the at markets looking to see what they have. You can tell when things have been harvested. Were they harvested right at peak time, or were they pulled off the vine too early? Because that will leave a scar where it separates. So there'll be a bit of a dish shape there when it separates off of the vine. And of course, we get then that aroma that everyone yeah. knows that is a cantaloupe or muskmelon, whichever you want to call it. It has that musky smell to it. That also tells us that it is as ripe as it can be and ready for us to open it up and go from there. So that's on the cantaloupes. Of course, then you can store them in the refrigerator for up to 2 weeks to help hold the freshness for you.
Okay.
But yeah, you just want to make sure that there should be no forcing, but just push on it and maybe a slight twist, it will just pop off the vine. That's how you harvest your
cantaloupe. Okay, you mentioned when you're in the store looking at this, if it leaves a dish shape, mm-hmm. does that mean it was taken off too early?
If it leaves that dish shape, that means it was taken off just right.
Okay.
If any of the vine is still attached to that point, that means it was harvested too early.
Okay.
Which a lot of times, though, in the store, they are, and then they're expected to continue to ripen.
When they're off the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they will. They just won't be as sweet as they would be if it's right at that perfect time.
I'm with you.
Now we get to our watermelons, which a lot of folks love watermelon. That's one of my favorites.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we're going to look for some signs that it's ready because it doesn't separate as easily from the vine as the cantaloupe does. So first we're going to kind of look on the underside. We're going to look for that ground spot. It needs to go from a green, white to yellow. As you said,
yep.
you checked
yes,
for
indeed.
The other day. So you're going to look for that. And then depending on the fruit, it shouldn't be glossy green. At maturity, it will turn to more of a dullish color. It shouldn't be glossy, shiny.
Okay.
It'll be more dull. We're also going to look at the opposite end of the watermelon. So the end that is not attached to the vine. That should have, it'll look like there is a spot there, which there was. They call that the tendril end. So that is where one of those feelers were at to hold it in place. That should also have turned to a brown to black. That tells you it's at maturity. And then you'll have to separate it by cutting it at the other end, and that's okay. But you're looking for those characteristics of that yellow ground spot, the dull color, as well as that and that's not attached to the vine to have shown that it's dried up. That's maturity. And then also you may then notice you may get bumps along the rind or on the outside of that watermelon. That tells you, too, then it's also even sweeter because those are called sugar bumps.
Sugar bumps, okay.
And so that will give you the idea, too, that they're ready. And that those are things to look for when you're in the store as well. Harvesting that, not harvesting, boy. Picking them out is to look at that tendril end to see is it fully dried up and what does that ground spot look like. Yeah, some folks will thump them to see if they sound hollow. You can do that. That doesn't always pan out as good, but you can kind of thump them to see if they sound hollow. That kind of gives you an indication.
So the hollow sound is good?
Uh-huh. Kind of gives you an indication of how much water is kind of in there. But you want to look for kind of those, also those sugar bumps and the right maturity for the sweetness of the watermelon. So
basically you have to cut this off the vine, the watermelons then?
Yes, watermelons have to be cut from the vine versus the cantaloupes where they will kind of pop themselves off when you go out and apply. It doesn't take a lot, just a little bit of pressure.
Okay, so there we have it.
There you have
That's what to look for.
Yes, and we're within season. I know there's been melons coming to town for farmers market and other locations, so it is that time if you got them in early enough. So,
and I know you were excited. You've told us that you have been able to plant some melons and cantaloupe out
there. And I was a little bit later than most folks, so mine are just starting to set, and they're looking good. So I'm excited.
Boy, there's nothing like, and I like it cold, both the cantaloupe and watermelon.
Yes, yes.
On a warm day, that's nothing quite as good as that.
No, there's not.
I know. So I bet things have been busy at the office, huh? You're obviously in full-blown preparation time now for the fair, right?
We are in full-blown preparation mode for the fair. So that we'll be kicking things off on August 1st with the Friends of 4-H picnic. And from there, it's hot and heavy until the end of the end of the fair. So, if you're interested in showing an open class for the static events at the Anderson Building, we have fair books at the office. We also have the entry cards, so come out and pick those up. Open class judging will be August 7th, and we'll be accepting items from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., and then we'll shut down the building and things will get judged. And that for a lot of the 4-H judging will happen before that on Anderson Building items, and then Friday of that week, the 9th, we'll kick off kick off with our livestock shows. So once we hit the 1st, it will be hot and heavy. And
yeah, I know. Yeah, and activities start the 1st and I think go through like the 17th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the carnival and a couple grandstand events will happen up until almost the 17th. So there's going to be a lot going on. It's here almost. I can't believe it.
All right. So, if folks have any questions about the fair or anything else, they'd like to contact you. How can they do that, Travis?
They can call us at 620-341-3220 or feel free to stop by our office on West Highway 50. We're located right next to the Lyon County Fairgrounds. So, stop by and see us if you have questions. And we'll see if we can help you.
Travis Carmichael in here every Thursday. In the Garden is brought to you by Waters Hardware. Don't have what you need for that big job? Well, Waters has it in their extensive rental department. Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50. By the Emporia Farmers Market, featuring the best of homegrown, homemade, and handmade since 1982. And by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 344-6165. We're back next Thursday with another edition of In the Garden here on KVOE Live and Local.
96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia, AM 1400 KVOE Emporia.